Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of PrepareForChange.net radio show. I am your host, Lynn, chair of the healing group at Prepare for Change. If you appreciate our shows that are on varying subjects to support your health, well-being, spirituality, environment, and other subjects, then please go to PrepareForChange.net and use the donate button in the right-hand column to help support our worthwhile organization. Today, my guest is Samuel Kiwas. He is a scholar of sacred geometry, an active social entrepreneur, and a community synergist who shares his passion for assisting people to arrive at their next level of spiritual development. He teaches sacred geometry seminars around the country, provides products that enhance personal growth, and maintains an extensive daily email list in Los Angeles dedicated to sharing information about meaningful events, products, and services. Thank you so much for coming to our meeting today, Sam. It was a very interesting discussion on sacred geometry, and I'm happy to share you with the world.
Wow.
So welcome, Sam.
Thank you.
So could we start by talking a little about how you got into sacred geometry, a little about your background?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Many years ago, there was something called the Flower of Life workshop, and it was put together by Drumbelow Melchizedek. And he was very smart. He had the people, there was about, I think, 6 days long seminar, and he told people they could make copies and give them to their friends, which is a wonderful way to spread the teachings of the sacred geometry through the Flower of Life. And I was lucky enough to get a copy of that. We call them the bootleg copies, even though they were authorized by the teacher to
Right.
make copies of. And I remember I would listen to these and I would just fall asleep listening to them because they were all day long. And I just listened to them over and over and over again. And so that was my introduction to sacred geometry. And when I got a job teaching sixth grade for LA Unified Math Science in the inner city, I was looking for a way to engage the students in math. And so I used some of the material from the sacred geometry teachings to get kids interested, because a lot of the kids who are troublemakers are more kinesthetic, and if you give them something to do with their hands, it seems to work pretty well. And so I taught the kids, I created an original curriculum called Geometric Drawing, the Math Art Connection, which combined the sacred geometry teachings with constructing circles, squares, and triangles using compass, rule, and protractor. And as it turns out, when I was in high school, I was not good at doing word problems, proofs in geometry, but I was very good at doing geometric constructions. So I had natural affinity for that. And I developed this curriculum where it gradually became more difficult. Each lesson was harder than the last. And then ultimately, I would use music and video to relax their minds, and then they would draw their own sacred design or mandala. And I taught this not only in the sixth grade, but also as an elective for the school, for the middle school. And some of the pictures got shown on the big screen in the auditorium during the winter concert. And the students really enjoyed that, and it was very satisfying. And also, I developed that into a seminar for math teachers, where I would go more into some of the spiritual aspects of sacred geometry. And a lot of the teachers were very happy. They would say that it stimulated their creativity. A lot of math teachers, their creativity gets shut off because they tend to be into numbers and very linear. And so this opened up their creative side, and they could have another experience, you know, reawaken their dormant creative nature. So that was also satisfying. And I taught it for 10 years in the school system. And then I thought I would experiment, and I changed the name from Geometric Drawing, the Math Art Connection, to Sacred Geometry, the Math Art Connection. And I found that I was no longer welcome to teach it in the big, like, California math seminars, because it had too much of a spiritual connotation. So I did that on purpose to push me to take it out in the public. And so for the last 8 or so years, I've been teaching it in the public arena. And I used to use transparencies back in the last century. Mm. But with the 21st century, I thought I had to get it with the program. So I turned it into a PowerPoint presentation. And I have 275 different pictures that I gathered around the topic of sacred geometry, so that somebody could get the experience of it from a visual perspective. And then when I give the presentation, the spoken word, the auditory, they get it visually and auditorily. And it's all about the oneness of creation from the perspective of geometry. That's what sacred geometry is. And the more people can get engaged in that sense of oneness, the interconnectedness of all life, the more harmony, peace, brotherhood, sisterhood we can have, respect for each other, and we see we're all part of the same creation. So I see it as a contribution to society in helping the evolution of humanity. And we sure need to, you know, start to respect each other instead of fight each other. So I see it as a win-win all around.
That's wonderful. So the school system didn't accept the fact that you changed it to sacred geometry. They were more upset with the name than they were what you were teaching, right, which was probably the same material, right?
Well, in the school, in the classroom, I left out the metaphysics of it because it's separation of church and state.
Right.
But when I taught it to the math teachers, I included more, like, for instance, there's in ancient Egypt, there was a ruler named, a pharaoh named Akhenaten, who had a school, the Right Eye of Horus, where he taught the creation of the universe from the perspective of geometry. And I used to call it creation mythology. So, in other words, it's up to the person receiving the information to decide if it's valid or not. Mm-hmm. I didn't teach it as if it was God-given truth. So I was a little more open with the adults, but with the children, I tried to keep it basically to the geometric constructions and the music and video to relax their brains, and then they drew their own designs, their sacred designs or mandalas. But with the math teachers, I took more license to bring in the fuller aspect of the topic.
Well, I'm certainly happy that you got pushed out into the public, you know, because...
Well, I created that.
Yeah, this is great. And it's such good information, and it's enjoying to listen to.
Yeah, and the pictures give you a real sense of the patterning and the interconnectedness of everything, you know, be it our bodies and the proportion that the divine proportion that our bodies come in, be it how things grow in nature, be it how things revolve around each other in the universe. It's all connected. There's a mathematical principle behind it all that ties it all together. So you could take someone who is, a non-believer, an atheist or an agnostic, and once they see the math behind everything in creation and how it all ties in together, and all of a sudden there's sort of a divine intelligence behind it all. There's a patterning. And they might start to see the way things are all connected, it's like a divine plan unfolding.
Right. One thing that I would like to mention, since a lot of sacred geometry revolves around pictures of these geometric shapes, can you give our audience your website address so that they can look these up?
Sacred Pendants. .com, that's plural, sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, P-A-N-D-E-N, Wait, pendants.
P-E-N-D-A-N-T-S,
pendants, sacredpendants.com.
Wonderful. Okay. That's good.
And on my website, there's the homepage, and then there's a page devoted to information about sacred geometry. And there's also a page that's called Pendant Store. There's a tabs at the top. And if you click on the Pendant Store page, there's 57 different patterns that all have to do with sacred geometry from cultures throughout the world. And it's a lot of different patterns to keep track of. But every time when I find something new and interesting, I feel like I need to include it. What happened was, after teaching sacred geometry for 12 years, I decided I wanted a symbol to wear around my neck to represent that. And I chose the Sri Yantra, which is the Om frequency, the creation energy of the universe. And I searched the world till I found something I really liked, and I bought it. And I started to wear it, and strangers were stopping me in the street and say, where can I get one? So a light went off in my head, and I started to buy them wholesale. And now I'm buying them from the people who make them in India. It's a wonderful family. And in fact, I went to visit them 5 months ago, and we really had a wonderful time, got to know each other after me buying from them for 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah. And so it's all evolved. I keep adding more patterns to the soup.
Well, I own two of your pendants.
Nice.
And I have got to say that the pendants that I saw today were beautiful.
Thank you.
You know, lots of new ones that you didn't have when I purchased mine. However, I'm still happy with mine. In fact, the one that I'm wearing today, it picked me.
Yeah, my wife says that.
Yeah.
She says, you don't pick the pendants pick you. And when we get them in from India, we put them under a crystal skull and various energy grids. And my wife's been working with gemstones and crystals for over 30 years. And so she puts patterns of energy and for people's life enhancement, for their evolution, with the right pentacle, the right person, for balance and harmony, and everything that would be helpful to help the person grow to their next level of spiritual development. And people feel the energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love him. So, audience, please check out his pages. You will just be blown away with the appearance of these beautiful pendants. He also has earrings that are also pendants in miniature. So, they're beautiful. And I thank you for sharing those with the world. That's a wonderful service.
That's what I do.
Yeah.
Everybody has to figure out what in life they're good at. It's something you enjoy and something you have a energy to do. I believe before we're born, we make an agreement. We sign a contract with the gatekeeper, so to speak, about what we want to accomplish in this lifetime. I think basically our soul tells us what we want to accomplish in this life, and we come in to do those things. And if we are in alignment with that agreement, then things sort of flow, and we can have more prosperity and success, and it's almost effortless. Not quite. I mean, you have to put in a lot of effort, but there's a flow behind it. There's a rhyme and a reason. But if you're not doing things that are alignment with your soul agreement, then things get rocky, and you run into walls, and you know, you might have to change course till you get back on track, so to speak.
And it feels right. There is a sense of a feeling that goes along with when you're doing what you need to be doing for your own soul's purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I totally agree with you on that.
If everybody did what they came here to do, then it would be a more complete puzzle. It would be that everything would flow better on the planet, and we could have more harmony and interrelationship, that everybody doing their part.
Yes, I agree. Well, so if we get into, let's talk a little bit more about your pendants. These are not just simple pendants. These have stones in them.
Gemstones.
Gemstones. And you have five different kinds of gemstones that each have a purpose.
And each have the healing properties.
Right. And on the front is the pattern that is the sacred geometry, mm-hmm. done in numerous different colors, mm-hmm. and patterns and designs. There, you have to see them. You will be attracted to something. And that's probably the right one for you.
And they're even more beautiful when you see them in real life than you see them as a picture on the,
yes.
on the website.
Yes. Okay, so what can you tell me about the sacred geometry pendants pattern that you use currently? What do they encompass?
Well, you're talking about the one I wear or the ones I have?
Start with the one you're wearing.
Well, I'm wearing Metatron's cube.
Okay.
And Archangel Metatron, the way the story goes, is that he was Ezekiel on Earth, and God was so happy with all that he had done that he whisked him into heaven in a chariot of fire. And now he sits on the right-hand side of God, and some people say he's God's scribe. Some say he is responsible for bringing light into the universe. But he has a very important role to play in the affairs of the universe. And the symbol is a really strong symbol. And inside of it, you can from that symbol, you can create all the platonic solids, which are the building blocks of the universe. Came from Plato, from his teachings, and it's all the different shapes that come out of nature in terms of solid shapes. They're called platonic solids.
They're very cool.
I originally chose the Sri Yantra when I first got my first one, and that is a symbol that represents the creation energy of the universe, and it's the Om vibration. So it's considered in the ancient Vedic tradition to be the most powerful symbol. So I wore that for many years, and I switched over to the Metatron's cube the last few years.
You must have gained the power that you needed from that before you switched over.
Hopefully.
So, how does the Tree of Life relate to sacred geometry?
Well, the Tree of Life is an ancient symbol in the Jewish mystical tradition. And it usually has like 10 points. And it is said to be a way that the energy of spirit is translated into matter. It's a step-down vehicle. And the Tree of Life, in the Garden of Eden, there's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And as the story went, when Eve bit into the apple, the symbolic of wanting to try the knowledge or the experience of the world, it has the good and evil, has light and dark, good and evil. It has the polarity. It gets you into the duality. And so you have the goodness, but you also have the polar opposite. Whereas with the Tree of Life, it sort of takes you to another level beyond the duality into the harmony of the wisdom, where you're no longer judging. You know, I think we're not really supposed to judge. We're supposed to experience life and as it comes to us. And so the Tree of Life represents that wisdom, which is beyond the knowledge of good and evil. It's more a peaceful frequency, more harmonious, more universal.
And you were saying today about how in life, in nature, sacred geometry is reflected. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, like I was saying, when we first are created, when the egg and the sperm come together and form a zygote, it divides into, that divides in four, that divides into eight. Those eight molecules, at that point, all human beings are the same. There's no differentiation between one human being and another. When that group of eight molecules divide again, and then that's called the blast. And there's like an implosion, and that's when we start to individuate and become our own unique self, different eye color, different hair color, different sizes. And we're all in our essence the same, and yet we have slight variations, we're all related to the divine proportion. Our bodies have a ratio of 1 to 1.618, which is a whole study into itself. It's the Fibonacci divine golden mean proportion. And so there's a lot of similarity between things, even though there's slight variation. And just like I was talking about fractals today too, the fractals is self-similarity, as above, so below. Just like if you see some broccoli and there's the larger clumps and the smaller clumps, but they're the same shape. And so there's a patterning that happens throughout creation, where our bodies are a microcosm of the universe, and we look up and we see the universe in the sky. And self-similarity, it's all connected. There's a harmony. I mean, it's hard to put this into a few words, but there's a divine patterning. There's a harmony. There's a relationship between the large and the small, and how we are made and how we develop, and the animals and the plants and the planets, they all follow a similar mathematical patterning principle. Mm-hmm. And it's all ties in together.
You used the example today of the ear and how that's a Fibonacci spiral.
Right. Golden mean spiral. And right. It's also the fetal position before we're born.
And then you said that the segments in the fingers are the same ratio.
Right. If you take where the first crease is on the finger and you add it to where the second crease is on the finger, if you put those together, it equals the entire finger. And we have that ratio throughout our body. And they use this divine proportion. And it's hard to explain it in such a short amount of time. But they use this 1 to 1.618 proportion, like in the cigarette box or in a lot of symbols for advertising, because it's more appealing to the eye, because the closest something is to the divine proportion, the divine ratio, the more attractive it is to our intrinsic nature.
And that was the same with the features of somebody's face that is considered beautiful. It follows the same symmetry pattern.
Yeah, the closer you are to the divine proportion in your face, in general, the more beautiful the majority of people will think you are.
That's very interesting. So, also something that comes to mind with sacred geometry is Masaru Emoto's work with water. Mm-hmm. And how it matters what you put into something energetically. Mm-hmm. Like if you don't like what you're doing, you're putting really negative energy into whatever it is that you're doing. If you're cooking, God help you.
Exactly.
You don't want to be thinking negative thoughts while you're cooking, because then you're going to be ingesting it.
Yes.
But Masaru Emoto found out that he could change lakes and bodies of water that were grossly contaminated by having people stand around and say positive things to the water, like, we love you, you're beautiful, you're nourishing, we love you. And the water would clear, and he would freeze these droplets of water that had been told positive and negative things. Do you have pictures of this on your website?
No.
Okay.
It's in my workshop, though.
Okay. Well, maybe I can try to get a couple of pictures and put it on the website.
Sure.
Because that would be pictures worth 1,000 words. Mm. It really is.
And you just saw a million words.
Yes. Yes.
275 pictures.
Yeah, it really helps to see the pictures.
Well, this follows in line with everything has vibration.
Yes.
The things we think, the things we write, the things we say, the things we do. Even a rock has vibration. So the whole universe is vibrating at different frequencies. And so do we want to add more positive vibration to the mix? Or like you were saying, if you go to a restaurant, it's really important what the people are doing, you know, who are cooking the food and serving the food. Because when things are not done with love, you can feel it, you know. So it's good if we can be conscious of our thoughts and what we say and monitor our actions so that they're life-affirming, so that you're a contribution instead of a detriment.
Yes, I totally agree. And this even works with sound.
Yeah, there's something called cymatics that was created by Hans Jenny. And he took a big speaker and he blasted sound onto a glass plate with sand on it. And what he found was different frequencies created different forms. And it's like showed the relationship between sound vibration and how it affects physical matter. And the same sounds repeatedly would produce the same form. So there was like a scientific correlation. It wasn't just a crapshoot. Every same similar sound created a similar pattern.
Pattern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything had its own pattern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's another thing. There are actually YouTube videos.
Yeah.
That you can watch on this cymatic occurrence with
going
the sound.
Going through the scales.
Yes. Yeah.
Forms.
It's beautiful. It's amazing. I'm amazed every day at how interrelated everything is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our lives, our bodies, our world, nature, everything.
And if you can raise yourself into that vibrational understanding, you start to feel very good about yourself, about life. It's like a bliss state, and it's available to everybody. And if we take the time to quiet our minds, which is not always easy, but the more we practice it, the better we can get at it, and give ourselves the time to go within and just feel the stillness, the great void out of which I believe everything came. We're going back to the source or the roots. In Hebrew, it's called the Ein Sof, which means limitless, which means beyond, without end. Or the other term for that is limitless unknown. If we can tap into that space that goes beyond the physical, we can start to experience that oneness, that core essence. And once we grab a hold of that feeling and we take it back into our daily life, we can be a powerful instrument for change.
Agreed. Very good. Let's take a little break here.
Yeah.
We will return to our show in a moment, but first I would like to tell you about some of the features under the Participate menu tab at prepareforchange.net. First and most important is the Planetary Liberation Meditation that we do as a group at Prepare for Change Los Angeles each Sunday. COBRA has promoted this meditation throughout the world, and it is meant to be done at the same time around the world to increase its effectiveness. When you open the Participate tab, click on the Weekly Liberation Meditation. You will see at the top of this page, COBRA Weekly Liberation Meditation, narrated by Judy, music by Dove. This is the United States version, so you can click here on these words and it will start to play. Just below that is the English version with a French accent entitled Guided Audio, New Weekly Liberation Meditation, Planetary 2015. Clicking here will open up a YouTube link and begin to play. As you scroll further down the page, you will see links for other languages. I want to stress that the weekly liberation meditation is the most useful and effective tool that we have to help bring on the event. This can also be done daily if you feel so guided, either alone or in a group. The next thing that I want to mention is the Prepare for Change volunteers, also located under the Participate tab. There are many areas for volunteering your time and receiving a sense of satisfaction and purpose. Please take a look here in the drop-down menu and see if any of these areas of service interest you. After the event, we will have much to do in order to create our world as an ecologically friendly, harmonious environment. If you have talent in the area of being bilingual or multilingual, you may want to visit the Translate section. We have many interesting topics that need translation into other languages besides English. Now back to our show.
So, Sam, I know that you're quite a traveler and you've been many places in the world. Can you tell us about some of your experiences?
Sure. In 1987, we had something called the Harmonic Convergence.
Yes.
That was created by Jose Arguelles, who was a Mayan. He died a couple years ago, but he was a Mayan scholar, and he proposed that all the spiritual groups all over the planet get together and have ceremony, spiritual ceremony, on the same day. And I decided to go to Mexico, Guatemala, and Belize to experience the Harmonic Convergence. I ended up at El Tule Tree, which is outside of Oaxaca, where there was this giant tree next to a church. It was like twice as big as the church. And supposedly, Quetzalcoatl was going to come up through the roots, out the branches of the tree, and spread his sparks to 144,000 spiritual beings all over the planet. And the people who were on magic mushrooms said they saw it. I didn't. However, the night before that, I was in the situation where I went outside of Oaxaca. There's pyramids called Monte Albán, and I was with two other people from Seattle, and we were given permission to, by the Archaeological Society of Mexico, the government, to spend the night in the pyramids. And I'd never had a psychedelics before, and I had a magic mushroom. And it was a very profound experience. What can I say? I found that whatever I thought affected what I saw. And when I closed my eyes and I thought negative, I saw blood and guts on my eyelids. And when I thought positive, I saw beatific scenes. And it made me insightful into maybe a lot where a lot of the modern art might have come from, because it was super vivid and highly creative. And that was an exceptional night. Where I got in touch with, on a soul level, with some of my deepest feelings. A few years ago, two or three years ago, I went to Ecuador, and I was with a shaman from the Shuar tribe, which is the second largest indigenous tribe in Ecuador. And we went on a two-week rainforest experience where we merged with the, we walked through the mud and we walked to different areas, and I experienced ayahuasca a couple times. And but my most powerful experience during that trip, I had two very memorable experiences, and the first one I'm going to talk about was even before I took the ayahuasca. I was we came to this river where they formed a camp about 100 yards from the seashore. But there was a strong current in the river, and I was magnetically drawn to the beach by the river. And I was just watching the current, and I just felt myself merge with the energy of the river. And it took me back. I read Siddhartha as a kid two or three times by Hermann Hesse. Mm-hmm. That's the story of the Buddha. And when he was trying to find himself, and he met the boatman who used to guide people across the river. And the boatman taught him to merge with the river. And that night, even before I took the ayahuasca, I merged with the river. It was just a wonderful, wonderful experience of nature's energy and the closeness we can come to that experience. And the shaman, he said, be very careful, do not get too close to the water because it can pull you in, draw you in. So that was one of my powerful experiences. And on that same trip, we went into this long cave, and you had to hike up into the inner parts of it. And it got to a point where I couldn't hike any further. I wasn't in good enough shape. So the others went ahead, and I got to stay where I was in complete silence and complete darkness. And I went into a meditation, and I tasted something that was extremely wonderful. About 30 years earlier, when I was in my early 20s, I went into this black void, and it was extremely terrifying and negative, and I felt like I was stuck in there, and I had a horrible memory from that. Well, this was like, you know, flash forward. When I had this experience, I went into the black, silent void, and it was blissful. So I experienced the other end of that experience, which was
kind
powerful.
Of balanced out the earlier experience.
Yes. And I think a lot of it has to do with what you bring to the experience. It's like these spiritual experiences we have are often a reflection of what's going on inside of you. So that was those were the real powerful things. And ayahuasca is not really my path. I'm glad I experienced it because I got to see other dimensional possibilities in our inner creativity. Some people seem to love it and do it hundreds of times. I've only tried it about three times. But it's not for everybody, but it can be a very, you know, worthwhile experience also for the right people.
You mentioned that that you would see, if you were thinking something negative, you would see blood and guts, and if you were thinking something positive, you would see beautiful scenes. Mm-hmm. Were you doing that as a way to experiment with this state, or was this a natural occurrence with your?
It was natural
thinking.
It just came to me.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Well, did you have any other trips that you went on that was exciting or insightful or helped you with your sacred geometry?
Well, I just went to the International Parliament of World Religions. They had a gathering in Salt Lake City a month ago, and there was close to 10,000 people there.
Wow.
From all faiths throughout the world. And that was quite an experience, meeting people from all kinds of cultures and seeing the ways that we're all connected and the ways we can get along and be on the same page together. But after the conference was over, I went with some friends from the interfaith community in Southern California. We went to Moab, Utah, and we went to a place called the Arches. And they had these rock formations that were unbelievably beautiful. And we just spent the day looking at all these different ways that nature is creative and expresses itself. And it seemed like an infinite expression of beauty. And it was very sacred.
It's kind of hard to come back to reality and life in the city. after you do something like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we get into our routine in the city, and then but you have to get away every so often to break the mold, to help you grow into new possibilities. And then traveling can be very challenging and difficult, but it's always great to come back to where you started. But you're a new person. You are vibrating in a different way, seeing things with new possibilities. So it's important to have consistency, and it's also important to take an occasional vacation or travel to expand your what's out there, to be exposed.
Like you're hitting the refresh button on the computer.
I personally find travel difficult because I'm Taurus. I like my home base, it's a bit challenging for me. But the benefits, I think, outweigh the difficulties.
Well, I think it's probably rewarding to look back on these different experiences and to actually figure out what you learned from them and how you put them into practice in your life, how it changes you.
Yeah, my big change early in life was I was raised very Jewish, but also an atheist. And when I transferred in my junior year to UCLA, I discovered experimental college. And those were classes that anybody could attend and anybody could teach, and they provided the facilities, and you didn't have to be a student to be involved. So it was an open university, so to speak. And I got exposed to yoga, tai chi, meditation. I met my first spiritual teacher. And all of a sudden, I discovered this whole path of spirituality, metaphysics. And it's the only thing that made sense at the time. Nothing else made sense. And I began the path back in 1971. And I've been exploring many different spiritual traditions, many teachers, many groups. And I made a whole study of it. In fact, I used to have spiritual gatherings in my home in late 80s, early 90s. Every week we'd have a half-hour silent meditation and speakers and a lot of good, healthy food. And the idea was that everyone that went into my home would be uplifted on all levels. And that came out of a travel that I went to Teotihuacan outside of Mexico City. I was meditating on the Pyramid of the Sun. And I just got the download to have spiritual gatherings every week in my home. And the modern 21st century version of that is I have an internet community. It's called sacredfriends.org.
And, I get your emails.
Oh, yeah. And it's about events and speakers and sometimes something about health or little bit politics. I try not to go too much into politics because everybody has their own opinion. But things that are life positive, that are life affirming, you know, that represent a higher quality of beingness. And so my nature is to want to blast out to the community and let people know what's happening, like the town crier. And when I have something good, it's hard for me to hold back and not share it.
Well, it's so great that you share it.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of those experiences that are out there and waiting, we don't know about.
Yeah.
Like when you were talking about UCLA, I thought, wow, I wish I'd have known about that.
Yeah.
You know, that would have been something that I'd have done.
Yeah. So it's about living life fully, living life in alignment with your purpose. And the more we do that, the more fulfilled we feel. I was a teacher for 22 years with LA Unified, and I had a very good job. My last 9 years of it was independent study. I taught modified homeschooling one-on-one. I had my own office, and the kids were making a lot of breakthroughs in terms of getting re-engaged in education. The parents were very appreciative. But after sitting in that office for 9 years, I needed a change.
Yeah.
So I got involved in the sacred geometry pendants, and I also sell violet glass bottles and jars that raise frequency and keep things fresher longer. So that's one thing I do, is violet flame glass sacredpendants.com and then the sacredpendants.com. And then the third thing is sacredfriends.org, the email.
Yes.
It's all about connecting people, uplifting people, and living the oneness and being alignment with my purpose, which I was taking the forum years ago. And, you know, what is your life purpose? And I thought about it and thought about it. And I thought, my purpose is to be a catalyst for humanity's evolvement through higher education.
Yes.
And so that transformed into doing these things. So before I left teaching, which I was at the top of the scale, making a good salary, I needed to replace it with something that was also worthwhile. And one thing leads to another. And here we are.
It sure does. Well, that is so great. So you also talked about Einstein today.
Yeah, he's very inspiring. He was great intellect, great mind. And his God was wonderment. That's how he saw God. And one of the key aspects of my sacred geometry presentation, the PowerPoint presentation, is I quote him, and he talks about the importance of breaking down the barriers that separate us from the other people on the planet, the necessity of developing empathy for the other, be it someone you know, someone in your family, or the so-called stranger. And so turning the stranger into the friend, because we're all in this together and we all need to help each other. And what I talk about when I read this quote from Einstein is that in the mall, when people go to the mall and they're shopping, 19 out of 20 might only be there to do their shopping, and you're just in the way. They don't think about you. You're just an obstacle for them getting to where they need to go to buy what they need for their family and friends. And that's sort of the opposite of empathy. And maybe that one person out of 20, maybe 5% of the people there have a developed nature where they care about all the people in the mall, all the people on the planet. They see the stranger as a potential friend. They see how we're all in this together. And that's what sacred geometry is about. It's about the oneness of creation through the perspective of geometry and how we are all connected, and we need to help each other in raising our vibration individually and as a culture, as a civilization, to become more civilized and more empathetic and more in touch with the other. Because we're all human beings. Our bodies are very similar. The patterns that run through us and through nature and through the planets and through the cosmos it's all a divine mathematical pattern that points to a mathematical or divine intelligence. There's a patterning behind this that is it's unfolding. It's almost like a divine plan. And the more we get aligned to it, which is what we committed to, in my belief, before we were born, the more we can play our part in the divine expression of creation.
Yes. I've heard a saying that a stranger is just a friend that you haven't met yet.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that too.
And we all are one. And when the whole world realizes that, I think we're going to have peace, harmony, and happiness.
There you go. There you go.
Sam, I really want to thank you for joining us today and for sharing this information with our wider prepareforchange.net audience. So can you one more time give each of your websites for the listeners?
Sure. Sure. One website is sacredpendants.com, and I have 57 different sacred geometry symbols. If you go to the pendant store tab and you scroll down, you can see all the different patterns and what they each mean. There's also a tab that for more information about sacred geometry there. I'm an educator as well as I promote these pendants. So that's one area. And then I have a website called violetflameglass.com in honor of Saint Germain, because the bottles and jars, when you look through the into the bottle or into the jar and point it toward the light, you can see it's actually an amethyst color.
Wow.
Very beautiful. And what I've done is I have 25 different sizes, which I've developed over the last 8-9 years. It's grown into a whole thing. But I've combined the sacred geometry and the bottles. The bottles, it's a special glass that raises vibrational frequency and keeps things fresher longer. The way it does that is it only allows violet, ultraviolet, and infrared into the glass. And by blocking most of the visible light spectrum, it slows down the oxidation process, because light decomposes things. So by blocking most of it out, things maintain their potency longer. And it also has a vibrational quality between the infrared and the ultraviolet, and seems to people feel the energy just by holding the bottle or jar. So what I did was I combined the two. I'm very interdisciplinary in my nature. I took the sacred geometry, some of the sacred geometry symbols, and I had them etched onto the bottles and jars with affirmations like love and gratitude, which according to Dr. Emoto is the most powerful or most effective thing you can do to words you can say to enhance the energy of something. And so let's say it's got the flower of life, which just represents the interconnectedness of all things, and then love and gratitude underneath that. So between the energy of the bottle, the sacred geometry symbol, and the affirmation, you have something that is has a serious representation of raising vibrational frequency. And the third one that I mentioned before is my sacredfriends.org, and I've been doing that for many years, and I send out email blasts every day on consciousness and health, things that are life positive. It could be events, it could be healers, it could be teachers, things that I find that are worthwhile to share with the community. And
are any of these at a distance? Can some people participate, like over the internet, with some of your events?
Some of them, but I would say a lot of them are mostly things happening in the Los Angeles area.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's sacredfriends.org. And if you're interested in being on that email list, I send out blasts almost every day. You just go to sacredfriends.org, and there's a sign up thing on the right side. So between those three things, it keeps me, I'm retired from teaching. So it's basically a good, solid half-time job. I'm the kind of person that doesn't believe in retirement. I'm rewired.
Yeah.
So I don't have to go 9 to 5 or as a teacher, 8 to 3, every day, Monday through Friday. Now I'm more my own person. If I need to take a vacation, I can have my friend take care of my business while I'm gone. And it's like a half-time job, which leaves me time to pursue other things, too.
That's wonderful. You're doing things right, Sam.
Thanks.
I have a question about your bottles.
Yes.
In this day and age, when we're all trying to multitask and we're making smoothies because we want to stay healthy, what do you think about putting smoothies in these jars? Will they maintain and be enhanced by being in these jars versus, you know, some other glass jar?
I believe so. It's funny that you say that, because that's one of the main things I use the jars for. I make a smoothie. It's always nice to have it fresh after you made it. But then I might have one or two other jars full of leftover smoothie, and I'll have it maybe later in the day or 1 or 2 days later. And it tends to keep things fresher longer.
Good point.
I just had someone who bought a violet bottle for me, and she said that she found that it seemed to make the water taste better. I don't like to make too many claims, you know.
Yeah.
But a lot of people seem to really love them.
That's wonderful. Well, once again, I thank you for being with us today, and you're more than welcome to come back to Prepare for Change anytime.
Thank you. I encourage everybody to live your purpose, and you'll be a lot more satisfied and fulfilled in your life.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us for this hour. Please join us each Sunday night on BBS Radio Station 1 at 9 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Shows can also be heard in the Archives section of the Media tab. Please remember that PFC is a volunteer group and we survive by donations only. So look deep within, and if you feel guided, we encourage you to go to prepareforchange.net website and donate an amount you can afford. That way you can assist us to continue the work at prepareforchange.net global movement. We thank you for your generosity and your much needed show of love and kindness. Remember, we are all voices of the world.
The beauty of the heart. I hear the voices of the world singing songs of peace and light. I see the vision of harmony appearing within our sight. From every culture, every faith, a flower blooms to right each wrong. We are the voices of the
sing along. All mothers feel their child as they laugh and learn and cry.
All fathers feel the same pride when they look into their eyes.
Yet some families go hungry, struggling just to live.
But there's enough for everyone if we just knew how to give.
Now is the time for a new era to start.
We can join together through the beauty of the heart. And light. I see the vision of harmony appearing within our sight. From every culture, every faith, a flower blooms to right each wrong. We are the voices of the world. Add your voice and sing along.
All people, all people, show the way, the violence will cease. All people, a part of the team to extend harmony so the world will live in peace. I hear the voices of the world. Human spirit lifts us high to fill our hearts again with song. We are the voices of the world. Add your voice and sing along. I hear the voices of the world stepping up to take a stand. The truth and joy unite us all. Every family, tribe and clan. When we join as one that's fire,